Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the mamas with the littles. Happy Mother's Day to the grandmas and the great grandmas. Happy Mother's Day to the spiritual mamas who are helping this next generation, whether you have kids or not, a day to celebrate. If you're here this morning and you're not a mother, I want you to know this morning's message is for all of us who have a heart for the next generation. But I also want to acknowledge that Mother's Day can be a day of mixed emotion as well. Maybe you're here this morning and your mom is not with you any longer, so it's a day of grief to remember as you remember that loss. Maybe it's a day and maybe you desire to be a mom, but you are not one yet. We recognize that this can be a hard day. Maybe there's dysfunction in your relationship with your mom. We recognize that that can make this day extra challenging. And so we just want to open up with the word of prayer, knowing that we are all on different places, different seasons as we approach this day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you and we celebrate the moms in the room. God, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. God, we thank you for the mom, the good moms, the spiritual moms in our life. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be a mother for those of us that are mothers. But God, we also recognize that today can be complicated. And so Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the great comforter, that you bring comfort to hearts that are grieving. You bring hope to hearts that are disheartened. Lord, you bring healing and restoration in hearts that are longing for healing. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you're ever present with us, whatever season we might find ourselves in this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this morning's message is The Strength of a Mother, and like I said, it's for anyone who has a heart to impact this next generation, which I hope is all of us, right? But as it relates to motherhood, I'm convinced that there is no stronger force on the planet than the fierceness of a mother's heart. Mamas are nurturing, mothers are caring, but mothers are also strong. I'm going to get to the message here in just a minute, but over the last couple months, I've come across numerous stories of the strength of a mom. I don't know how many of you guys have seen the recent movie called Air about Michael Jordan. Recent movie called Air that talks about the story of Michael Jordan and the launch of his brand Air Jordan. One of my favorite parts of the movie, and really the movie highlights the role of Michael Jordan's mom. He got signed. The movie talks about how he got signed. The Air Jordan brand got signed before he was even a professional player. And his mom was instrumental in it. His mom actually was the one that negotiated the deal with Nike. And she was adamant. What, Dolores? Dolores Jordan is her name. She was adamant. Mamas, you know the gift that's on your kid. She knew that her kid was special. She knew the gift that was on his life. And so she negotiated a deal with Nike that every single thing that sold with the Air Jordan brand on it, that forever the Jordan family would get 5% commission. That was unheard of at the time and is still unheard of. And so because of Michael Jordan's mama, he retired over 20 years ago, but is still today in 2024 the highest paid athlete who hasn't played in 20 years. Say it with me, the strength of a mother. We all need a mama like that in our life. I was watching a lot of these stories are sports stories. I've got boys that have ESPN on all the time. Heisman Trophy presentation, watching that with the boys a couple months ago, and I think every single candidate this year was a believer, and they mentioned something, or when they did the video of their story, I think each one of them's story talked about, oh, I had a praying mama. Thank God for the praying mamas, right? Another basketball story, Giannis Antetokounmpo something? Yeah, I don't know. There's a Netflix story about his life too, but he is a Greek immigrant. He grew up in a family that was very poor, and he was an immigrant in Greece. His family had nothing. He tells a story about how his mom was always praying. His mom was always believing. His mama knew that there was something special about her boys, and so she never lost hope. She kept praying for them, and now three of her five sons are in the NBA. Talk about the strength of a mother. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from the 1800s, said this. He said, "I am sure that in my early youth, no teaching ever made such an impression upon my mind as the instruction of my mother." John Wesley and his brother James, the fathers of the Methodist movement, they had their mother, what was her name? Susanna. She had 10 kids, and she was committed to praying and reading the Bible 2 hours a day. And so they tell the story that oftentimes when the house was loud, I can't imagine with 10 kids. Our house is loud with 3 kids. But when the house was loud with 3 kids and she was dedicated to prayer and Bible reading, her sons said that she would put her Bible on the kitchen table and take her apron and put it over her like a tent. And she would intercede for her husband, and she'd intercede for her kids, and she'd pray. And the kids knew, unless it was an emergency, don't interrupt mom under the apron tent. But her sons went on to really transform the Christian church, the power, the strength of a mom. I'm reading a book right now called The Pastor. It's written by Eugene Peterson, who translated the modern version of the Message translation. A lot of us love the Message translation. And in his book, he talks about his mom, and he talks about when he was young, like a preschool age kid, his mom would always, on Sunday night, take him, it was just him and her, out to this rural village where there were miners and lumberjacks that were too far away from the church, so she brought the church to them. And she would preach, and she just had compassion for these miners and lumberjack people. And so she'd preach, and in his book he says, oh, she was a great storyteller, she was a great preacher. He said eventually the men of the church found out that she was doing this and silenced her. But he said from a young age, his mom's storytelling and Bible teaching had such an impression on him, and he went on to translate the most modern Bible translation, The Message. The strength of a mama. So a couple months ago, I was in my quiet reading time with the Lord, and I was reading in the book of Judges, and I came across the phrase that described Deborah the judge. And it said, Deborah arose a mother to Israel. Something in my heart leapt, and I felt like it was the Lord prompting me to teach on Deborah arising as a mother for Mother's Day this year. But I want to encourage all the mothers and all the next gen leaders, which should be all of us wanting to impact the next generation. You are essential. You are powerful. You are strong. You are legacy making, and what you do makes a difference. I've got 4 things that we can take away from Deborah's life, her example of arising as a mother. But maybe you're not familiar with Deborah. Deborah's an Old Testament judge. She lived in the time shortly after Joshua. And in the times of Joshua, Joshua is the one that led the Israelites back to the promised land. And the people that lived in the time of Joshua are known for obeying God and their lives flourishing. And they entered the promised land. And it was a time of favor with the Lord because God's people were following him. But then as soon as Joshua and his generation passed away, a new generation arose that didn't know God. Check it out in Judges 2, verse 10. It says, when all of that generation, Joshua's generation, had been gathered to their fathers, they passed away, another generation arose. So there was a generation that arose after them who did not know the Lord, know the works which he had done for Israel. So Deborah enters, and all the judges enter during this time where there was a generation that arose that did not know the works of the Lord, that did not know God. They followed the dictates of their evil heart, scripture says. They worshiped idols. They didn't put God first and foremost in their heart. And so there arose this type of generation. And a couple chapters later, it says a similar phrase, but then it says, and then Deborah arose, a mother to Israel. You see that in Judges 5, 6 through 7. In the days of Jael, the highway was deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. How powerful is that? There was a generation that didn't know God, but then a mother arose. There was a town, there was a nation that was desolate. The villagers ceased, and the highways were destroyed, and things were ruined, but then a mother arose. The kids were acting a fool and making bad decisions, and then a mother arose. Kids lost themselves, they lost their identity, but then a mother arose. What would it look like for us, next generation leaders, us as mothers, to arise? I'd like for the rest of this morning just to take a look at the life of Deborah to see, what does that mean? How practically did she arise as a mother to Israel, the family of Israel, and help bring them back into a place of blessing? Number one, she arose as a spirit-led leader. So we need to arise as spirit-led leaders. In Judges 4:4, Deborah is described as a prophetess, even before she's described as a judge. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadath, was judging Israel at the time." She was a prophetess. She heard God's voice and spoke God's word to the people. She was a spirit-led leader. Earlier in the book of Judges, it talks about how the Holy Spirit came upon the judges to do their role. You see that in Judges 3:10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, talking about a judge a couple times before Deborah, and he judged Israel. So what does it mean to arise as a next-gen leader? What does it mean to arise as a mother when a generation doesn't know God's voice? First and foremost, it comes from a position of spirit-led leadership. Being a prophetess, knowing God's voice personally for ourselves. Having an authentic personal relationship with Jesus ourselves. Knowing God's voice for ourselves so that we can speak God's word over this next generation. Mamas and next gen leaders, if you're not praying for your kids, who is? If you're not speaking God's word over their life, who is? If you're not dialed into what the Holy Spirit is saying concerning whatever your kid is going through, or the kids that you help direct as a spiritual leader, as a next-gen leader, if you're not dialed into what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in this person's life, then who is? If we're going to be mothers, next-gen leaders that arise, we need to be dialed into the voice of the Holy Spirit like never before. We need to pray without ceasing, constantly. Lord, what are you doing? Every day, every moment. The most important job on the planet is being a parent. God established the structure of the family before he ever formed the structure of worship, or what we now know as the church. It's the most important leadership role on planet. We need to be infused with the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying without ceasing if we want to be a mother that arises, a next generation that of leaders that arises. We need to be in our word every day. So parents, mothers, next gen leaders, people that are pouring into this next generation, what is God speaking to you about your kids? What's God's agenda for your kids in this season? Every season's different, and if you have a teenager, every day is different. Every season is different. What is the Lord doing? What is the Lord doing in your kid's life and heart? We have to have spiritual antennas to know, God, what is your agenda in my kid's life right now? What are you trying to speak to them so I can partner with you in what your mission? We just steward our kids, right? God, what are you doing? I want to be a spirit-filled leader, a prophet, a prophetess for my family. Amen. Number two, how did Deborah arise? With ongoing biblical commentary of life. This is so important. As a parent, as a mother that arises, as a next-gen leader, we need to not be muzzled on the most important things. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're a next-gen leader, and you're like, I don't feel like a leader, though. Like, I don't feel like, I don't know that much, and I'm afraid that I'll say something wrong. Your voice needs to be heard. And so as next-gen leaders, as mamas that and parents that are arising, we need to have ongoing biblical commentary. Because if they're not getting it from you, they're getting it from TikTok or Insta, or I don't know, all the places that they get their commentary, YouTube. They've got voices giving them commentary on how their worldview should be. If you're not speaking, if you're not giving them ongoing commentary, they've got it in front of them on a screen all day long. So Deborah arose as a prophetess, but she arose as a judge. And what was her job as a judge? Basically to give ongoing commentary about how to follow God. You see that in Judges 4, verse 5 in the Amplified, it says, she, Deborah, used to sit and hear and decide disputes. If that's not a definition of motherhood between siblings, she used to sit and hear and decide disputes under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her for judgment. So nonstop, every day, Deborah is sitting by her tree, a tree named after her, the palm tree of Deborah, and she is giving commentary. People are saying, what should I do about this? And what about this? And what's the biblical perspective on this? All day long, she is a running commentary on life, giving people's God's perspective on what's happening in their life. Daily, people were coming to Deborah for truth, guidance, counsel, judgment. Amen. As parents, we need to be having a running, ongoing commentary with our kids about life. It's the way that Jesus discipled. Yeah, there's moments that Jesus would prepare a message and have a sermon, like the Sermon on the Mount. But most of his most monumental moments of teaching and discussion were as they were on their way to go do something. He would look at the fig tree and teach a lesson. He would look at the temple and say a lesson. He would look at someone on the side of the road and say a lesson. And a lot of that is what we have as scripture, is what he taught, the commentary about life that he taught as he was along the road. And so we can't miss this as parents. Like, parenting, arising as mothers, being next-gen leaders is messy. And it's not, your conversation to them about what it means to be kind is not going to happen in a civil environment. It's going to happen in the midst of running to soccer practice and someone yelled at someone and you're having a conversation in the car on the way to soccer practice. But you're leading, you're arising as a mother in that. All the time. I mean, I don't know, like 3 to 10 times a day, I'm having some kind of teaching moment with my kids. And it's all on the go. And it's always just kind of a slipping them the word. Yesterday, Ella had a ballet performance, and it was wonderful and so much fun. But at noon, she had already been up there for 4 hours. She said, "Hey, Mom, can you get some crumble cookies for me and my friends backstage?" I thought, "Yes, I'd love to." She performs twice a year. I'm like, "Yes, whatever you want today." And so later on in the day, she said, "Mom, I didn't think that you were. I was surprised that you got the cookies." I was like, "Girlfriend, you have not because you ask not." Any opportunity that you can link practical life to God's character, right? But oftentimes we're watching TV with our kids and something will come on the screen that we're like, what is that? It's a coaching moment. It's an opportunity to comment on, oh, that's interesting. Pausing the TV and saying, what did you guys just see that happened there? What does the Bible say about this kind of behavior? You know what? We're just probably not going to watch that show anymore. For the parents that have young kids in the room, when our kids were young, like toddlers, like as soon as they started being in front of a screen, we started to talk to them about your heart is precious to us. And what comes in your ear, your eyes, and what comes in your ears affects your heart. And so we want to guard what we're seeing and what we're hearing. And so we said, we're going to do as best as we can to protect your eyes and your ears from what comes to your heart. But we want you to know that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And if you're ever watching something or listening to something and you get a bad feeling in your gut, then you turn it off and you come tell Mom and Dad. From a young age, it has been a part of our culture that as a family that we empower the kids and they know we are on our guard with media, and we encourage them to be on their guard with media as well. And it's never, and they take it, like we're partnering with them, and they know the whole reason is because we want to protect your heart. We're not trying to be legalistic, but we don't want to infuse our eyes and our minds with things that doesn't promote a godly lifestyle. And so there's been lots of shows over the years that we said, oh, this isn't a bad show, and this is fun in so many ways, but there's this little part. There's this little kid that's always disobedient to their parent. There's this little character that has an ungodly lifestyle that, you know what, because of that reason, we just want to guard our heart, and we're just not going to watch that. Amen? And then when they get older, Eli had something on the TV the other day, and I've had enough of those soft, gentle conversations that I heard. I said, oh, nope, turn that off. We're never watching that again. And he knew what I meant. But ongoing conversation commentary. We're watching the northern lights and we said, oh, you know, it's a cool spectacle, but look at the heavens declare. Just commentating on giving our kids, this next generation, a biblical worldview in every area of life. What do you do about, you know, you see a kid misbehaving or they come home and they've got emotions because of a bully at school. So you talk about the feelings and all of that, but then you give them a biblical worldview. Hurt people hurt people. And so that's not right that they said that. That's not right that they did that. But you know what? They're hurting on the inside and that's why they did it. But it doesn't justify their behavior. But that's why we don't act that way to other people. You know, you commentate, but you lead it back to scripture. And so you take a look at situations, whether it's media content or behavior or world news, and you give them the filter of scripture. All right, this is what just happened. This is what we just saw. This is what you just heard about at school. Okay, let's ask ourselves, what does the Bible have to say about this thing? And so how does that mean that we should practically move forward with this media or with this behavior or whatever? Amen? Super important. Number three, how did Deborah arise a mother? She arose with speaking life over her child. For us, we arise by speaking life over our child's identity. Let's take a look at how Deborah did that. So Deborah was a judge, and she partnered with a military general named Barak. And they were to go and to fight this battle. And Barak, you see throughout scripture, and even the historian Josephus talked about how Barak was a little sheepish. He was a little afraid to go into battle. And when Deborah saw his insecurities and his fear, she spoke life in faith. You see that in Judges 4:14 in the Amplified. Deborah said to Barak, "Arise for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Has the Lord not gone out before you?" So Barak went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. So what are the fears and the insecurities and the anxieties? As parents, as mothers that are arising, as next-gen leaders, we need to recognize what's coming out of the mouth of the children that we're leading. What is the fear that's coming out? What is the insecurity that's coming out? For Deborah, Barak said, "I'm afraid. I don't want to do this without you." He had fear and insecurities about the battle. And Deborah, as the mother that arose, she said, "No, is not God with you? The battle is yours." So what's coming out of the mouth of this next generation? What are they saying about themselves? Man, we watch that like a hawk with our kids. Oh, I'm just not smart. Oh, I'm just not strong. Or I'm just not whatever. And we don't let that, you know, scripture says take every thought captive into the submission of Christ. And so watching what's coming out of our kids' mouths so that it doesn't build a stronghold in their heart of a lie that doesn't line up to the word of God. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. So no, you're not dumb. No, you're not the, you know, whatever kids say, stupid or whatever the coolest word is to say. No, you have the mind of Christ. Oh, I'm just not pretty or I'm whatever. No, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're loved. You're valuable. And we catch, as parents, as next-gen leaders, we've got to catch what they're saying and how they're forming their identity and the words and the fears and the insecurities that are coming out of their mouth and speak life and speak truth over them. Help them locate themselves. Help them know themselves. Oh, I'm not good at this. Yeah, maybe that's not your strength, but you are good at this. And God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Your gifts and your callings are irrevocable. We can't hug our kids too many times. We can't tell our kids we love them too many times. And we can't tell them God has good plans for you too many times. Lastly, number four, how did Deborah arise? The way I kind of made these bullet points weird and how I'm leading into it, but she arose by creating equitable moments, and so can we. You can see at the end of the story of Deborah in Judges, it's a whole chapter, the whole chapter of Judges 5 is this moment that Deborah creates of song and celebration. All of Judges 5 is a song that Deborah writes, and it's this moment of celebration. It's this equitable moment, this moment where she's building equity with her family, with the family of God in celebration. It said that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And a lot of motherhood and a lot of parenting and helping the next gen is a lot of sacrifice, and it's a lot of saying no, and it's a lot of hard conversation. It's a lot of discipline and all of that, and nurturing and all of that. But all of that that we've already talked about can go off of kids' hearts like it can bounce off the walls of your child's heart if you don't have relational equity. And so Deborah models this. She paused for a moment and celebrated. And so as we arise as mothers, as we arise as next-gen leaders, looking for those moments that we can build equity in the heart and the lives of our kids. As simple as, hey, we're going to go to the grocery store, but hey, I'll get you an ice cream or a coffee on the way. Just little moments that make life a little extra special. For us, we guard Friday nights, and the kids know the night's busy, and we could have meetings on every, you know, we can be all at practices and meetings every night of the week, but Friday night, they know they have our full attention. We're not scheduling anything on Friday night, because Friday night's family night. We're playing board games, and so we have a weekly rhythm of connection and equity building. Yearly rhythms of family vacations, surprise gifts, surprise things, silly, goofy, moment-by-moment memories together to build equity in the heart of your kid that they know that you love them, that they know that you're special, that they're special and treasured by you. I'll never forget summer 2020. We had a family vacation scheduled for Jellystone. And Jellystone Campground, and it was the one with the water slides and all the stuff. And it was summer 2020, so it kept getting bumped back. It kept having to get delayed. And so we ended up going August 2020, and we were all so excited to get out of the house and have time together, and we had so much fun. It was like the perfect vacation for our season of life. It had a water park and water slides and 5 pools and a lake and a paddle boat and a craft tent, any craft that you could think of. It was like so much fun. It was at the end of the week, and you know, family vacations, your heart's just knit together as a family, right? It was the end of the week, and it was our last night there, and the kids had we rented a cabin on the site. We went from tent camping to glamping real quick. So, but they had a bunk room, and every night before we go to bed, we always go into the kids' bedrooms and pray with them and sing Jesus Loves Me, and Ella has phased out of that now, but at the time, she hadn't. We still pray together, but not the Jesus Loves Me anymore. But at that time, but rarely are we all together doing it together, so we were in the room together, and we were praying together, and then we all were singing Jesus Loves Me together as a family. And I remember, you would have thought that we were at a church conference all week, the way that the presence of the Lord just filled the space as we were singing Jesus Loves Me as a family at the end of a family vacation. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, there was nothing spiritual about what we did this week, but it was so spiritual. Because our hearts were so linked together. We had so much fun. We had all these equitable building moments together that on the spiritual end, I felt like we could do anything for the kingdom together at this moment. Because of our hearts being knit together, their hearts were so receptive to what the Lord was doing. So this is a really important part of what Deborah did, creating equitable moments. Deborah was a mother. She arose in strength, but she also had time to have fun and celebrate. And so I'm not going to read the whole story of Judges 5, but I'll read the first couple of verses. It says, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, when the leaders lead in Israel, and when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. And it goes on, it's a really long song. But the song opened up by saying, when the leaders lead, the people willingly offer themselves. Mamas and next-gen leaders, as we lead, as we're spirit-led leaders, prophets and prophetesses for our families, as we have ongoing biblical conversations, commentary about what's happening in life, as we're intentional to speak life and faith over the next generation, as we're intentional to have these equitable moments to pour into the relationship with this next-gen, the people, the kids will willingly follow. And eternity truly will tell of the impact that we have had as we simply arise. Judges 5:12 says, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away. So easy to sleep and not arise in motherhood and leadership. helping this next gen. This morning, I just want to close in a time of prayer. If you're comfortable, if you're in the room and you're, why don't we all just stand? I want to pray for the mamas. I want to pray, we're all next gen leaders. But you locate where your heart's at. As mothers, as fathers, as those who want to impact the next generation. If you feel comfortable, would you lift your hands to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And God, we thank you for the call to arise. There arose a generation that didn't know you, but then a mother arose. For those of us that are mothers in the room, those of us that impact the next generation in some way, Lord, help us know what that looks like to arise a little bit more. What does that look like to maybe dedicate some more time to praying for our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids? What does it look like for us to not get so overwhelmed in the dailiness of life that we're missing moments of commentary, biblical commentary, speaking life, having those equitable moments? Lord, help us arise. God, I thank you for fresh grace on all of those that feel called to lead this next generation, especially the mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, the spiritual mamas, the parents in the room. Lord, help us arise. Because then Judges 5 ends by saying, and there was peace in the land. That one generation that arose and didn't know God came back to him. So God, we thank you for that, and we speak blessing over the kids that we represent. We speak blessing over the adult kids and the young kids and the kids not even yet born. And God, we thank you that as we arise, as the leaders lead, the people, the children willingly follow. We thank you for what you're doing in this next generation. Help us arise in the way that you're calling us to. Help us put on our combat boots and nurture and lead in the way you're calling us to. Jesus.